So we'll ask Pastor Sebastian to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and read that verse one more time, verse 17.
And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins.
Now this is, sounds very simple. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Simple, but very dangerous. Because if you do not believe Jesus Christ is risen, then if your faith in Christ is useless, and then you're still living in sin. So the Christianity is started by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith that Jesus Christ came from heaven, died for our sins, and he rose again third day, and he went to heaven, and he's going to come back for us. So if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is risen, then our faith is useless, and then we are living in sin. And if somebody living in sin, and if they die in sin, they will go to hell. The Word of God says, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. But it comes only, you have to believe that Jesus Christ came into this world. He died for me. He rose again. He is a living God. Then only you will be resurrected when Jesus Christ comes. Last week we learned when Jesus Christ will come, he will resurrect our this corruptible body to his incorruptible body. Our body is corrupt because of sin. But when Jesus Christ died and rose again, he came with a new body, means he came with an incorruptible body and glorious body, and he will give us the same glorious body. Then we will be going with him to heaven. And even though we go to heaven together with him, we will come back to this earth for 1,000 years reign. And after the 1,000 years reign, we will be going with Jesus Christ to the new heaven, new Jerusalem, and new earth, and we will be there with him for eternity. That's what the Bible teaches. So we are going to go to the 1 Peter chapter 1 and start reading from verse 3 to 5.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Now here again he's saying, verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This lively hope is only in Jesus Christ. And not only that, he says he has begotten us again. That means once Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, he gave us new life. That life was not existed before, because the Word of God says, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are became new. That means we are new creation. Adam's creation was created from the dust, but our creation is created by the Spirit of God. Last week we learned, I'm not going to repeat that, but we are going to learn in this scripture, not only God is going to redeem us or give us a new salvation or redemption of our body, but we will be getting the glorious body. Now in this verse we read, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now many people for example, Jehovah's Witness, when they read this word, they said, the God and the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, that means God is the Father and Jesus Christ is not equal unto God. They're saying Jesus Christ is a God and God the Father is the God. But here the word of God is saying, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again into the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even though God the Father is the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, that doesn't make Jesus Christ lower than Father. I'll prove it to you from the word of God. When Jesus Christ was risen, he said to Mary Magdalene, I'm going to go to my God and your God. So he was not ashamed to call God, God the Father, or his God. Because our God is triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God, one God, they are from eternity. Because our God is not like a God the Father was there, and then he made the God the Son, and the God the Son made the Holy Spirit. It's not like that. Our God is from eternity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, calls the God the Father, the same way God the Father calls the Son God. Let's read the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and start reading from verse 8 to 12.
But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fall.
See, the God the Father is talking to God the Son, and he is saying, you are God. And then he is saying, you have created everything. And he says, everything is going to vanish away, but you will be there for eternity. And St. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, if you read, the same way saying, the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Word is called the Son of God. So, the Son of God was from the beginning, and he is God himself. And if you read up to 3, that everything was created by him and for him, and everything was created was not created without him. So, he is the creator. And God the Father says to God the Son, you are God, you are Lord. And the same way when we read in the First Peter chapter 1 verse 3, he says, God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is the Father and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same way Jesus Christ says, God is my Father. And Father says to his Son, Jesus Christ, his Son also is God. So Jesus Christ is equal unto God. He is not lower to God. You remember when he was talking to the Jewish people and Pharisees, and they start saying, you are making yourself equal unto God. And that's why they wanted to kill him. So the Jesus Christ is from the eternity, is from the beginning. Book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus Christ is be there for eternity. Now in this scripture it says, he has begotten us again. Now who is begotten? The God the Father, he says, because his abundant mercy had begotten us again. God the Father had the mercy on us. And that's why he gave us grace to be born again through Jesus Christ, because Father and Son works together for our salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. St. John chapter 1 verse 12, he says, as many as believed him, to them he gives the power or authority to be called the sons of God. And the verse 13, it says, we are born from God or we are born from above. So in the born-again experience, God the Father and God the Son is enrolled. Otherwise, we will be not be getting saved without Jesus and without Father. There are some people, we will be learning, there are some people do not believe in Son, they believe in Father, but they will not be saved. You need the Father and Son to be born again. God the Father loved us, and he sent his Son to sacrifice his life for the mankind. So God the Father and God the Son work together. And here the word of God says, he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If the Jesus Christ is not risen, then you cannot have the newborn eternal life. If you remember, Jesus Christ, as soon as he came out of the grave, he went to the disciples. They were locked down and doors were closed and everything. Jesus Christ comes, that is in John chapter 20, verse 22, and he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. That time people did not understand, and today also people didn't understand. They said, oh, he gave them the Holy Spirit. He did not give them the Holy Spirit. He gave them his own spirit. He breathed on them. So instead of saying, receive my spirit, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So what happens when Jesus Christ you receive, you get born again. At that time, Peter didn't say anything. But now Peter is explaining, because God abundant mercy, he had begotten us again unto a lively hope by resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That means he said, now I understand what Jesus Christ breathed on me. That was, he was giving me the eternal life, or he was giving me a new life, and he was giving me the born again experience. That's the time I got born again. I got saved. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, please read. Peter explains, the word of God has power to give you new life. And that's the way you get eternal life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Now you say you're born again by what? Not the corruptible seed. When Jesus Christ came out of the grave, he was incorruptible. So when you receive incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, which is the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, when you receive, you became the child of God. So it works by the word of God, by the Spirit of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. That means if you want to be a Christian, you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is the one gives you eternal life or born-again life or new birth. Read the James chapter 1, verse 18.
Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Now, it is his own will. Whose will? God's will. God had the desire that we should be born again, children of God, but we should be born again because when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, that's the time you get saved, you get born again. So the born again experience works hand in hand. God the Father and God the Son together gives you a new birth. If you reject the Father and just say, I want Son, it would not work. you need the Father and Son to be get saved. Okay, let's go further. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4.
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We were already saved when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That time he saved our soul. But now he says when Jesus Christ is coming, he is going to give us a salvation. Means he will redeem our corruptible body to his incorruptible body. And that will be revealed when Jesus Christ comes. And the verse 4 says that kind of body means we will get the in heaven inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That means once you are born again, child of God, just like you have reservation for a train or plane, and you paid the money, that means you're sure that you're going to go in a plane or train wherever you want to go. But here the word of God is saying we already reserved our seat in heaven because we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we believe that in the last time when he comes, he's going to redeem our body and we will be with him. But at the same time, when somebody reads this scripture, he says, oh, we have already reservation and we are already going to heaven, so we can do anything we want. It will not work that way. For example, you reserve the ticket for plane and you don't go on time and the plane takes off, you will not be able to go even though you have the reservation. The same way, you are a believer and you have to believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have to stay in the will of God, stay in the blood of Jesus Christ, stay in God to get that eternal life or inheritance in heaven. Even though it's reserved for you, nobody can take it away, but you have to prepare. We learned a couple of weeks ago, work out your salvation with the fear and trembling. And so you have to prepare yourself. So here we read that the last time God is going to prepare us. Now, how he's going to prepare? He says, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith. When you say power of God, is the power of the God's Spirit. We are kept by the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus Christ, that salvation should be ready, revealed in the last days or last time. So that means if you have the Father, you need the Son. And if you have Son, you need the Father. If you say, I don't need a Son, I need just the Father, then it will not work. Let's read the 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23.
Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also.
Now see what he's saying here? If you deny Jesus Christ, then you are Antichrist. That means you do not believe. There are so many people today do not believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Who are those people? Those people are Antichrist. And here the word of God is saying, if you believe the Son, then you have the Father also. And if you don't have the Son, you cannot have the Father. But if you have Son, you will have Father and the Son. For example, Jewish people, if they say we don't want Son, we don't believe in Jesus Christ, we only want Father, then they will not have Savior. The word of God says when he comes, they will repent and they will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they will have salvation. Muslim people do not believe there is a God and God has a son. They just believe the God. The word of God is saying here very plainly, if you do not believe Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you are Antichrist. And if you are Antichrist, you cannot go to heaven. And then here is saying, if you believe in Son, you will have Father also. But if you deny the Son, you will not have Father. So here it works. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith in Jesus Christ, the salvation you are going to receive in the last time. So we have to believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that Father sent his Son for me, and then we will have the salvation. And when salvation, as I said earlier, the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ works together. When you read in the St. John chapter 1, it says, you will have the Spirit of Christ because you receive Jesus Christ and God gives you his Spirit. And Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, please read. We read many times, but you have to make it in your system. In that verse 6, it said, because you are a children of God, I'll take the Spirit of my Son and put it in you so you could call me Abba Father. Please read.
And because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father.
So how is he saying? Because St. John chapter 1, it says, as many as received him, whom Jesus Christ, to them he gave power. To them he gave the Spirit of Christ. To them he made the children of God. So here it says, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the reason I am giving his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to call Abba Father, because he calls me Abba, and you will be able to call me Abba because you have the same Spirit, Spirit of my Son. So that means you have to have the Spirit of his Son to call Abba Father. And God gives the Spirit of his Son. So it works together. And many times we read in the book of St. John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus says, I will come, I'll bring my Father with me, and then we will make our home in you. That means God the Father, God the Son dwells in you. That's the reason you are a child of God, or you are the born again child of God. Without the God and without the Son, there is no salvation. So now Jesus Christ is the one saves us. And the word of God says Jesus Christ came, he died on the cross, he rose again, and he told his disciples, I'm going to go and come back again and take you with me, and then you will be with me. So Jesus Christ is coming very soon. The people who believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have to believe that he is coming back again. When we take the communion, we said, do this for remembrance of me. That means I died for you and I am coming back. Don't forget that I am coming. So we have to remember that Jesus Christ is coming. Book of Philippians chapter 3, please read verse 20 and 21.
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself.
Now here is saying, our citizenship is in heaven. We are living in this earth, but we are not these earthly people. Because once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we are looking for Christ to come. And he says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from there our Savior is coming. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, who shall change our vile body, means a corruptible body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's the reason Jesus Christ is coming. When he comes, he will give his body just like his body to us. Because when he came out of the grave, his body was a glorious body. That body could go to the closed doors and closed windows. It could go inside without opening the door. And he was able to go to heaven flying like, you know, going up. Ordinary body will not go, but it was heavenly body, and it was not having any problem to go to heaven. Now today we have to go to moon or some Mars or somewhere, we have to have a rocket ship. But if you have a glorious body, when Jesus Christ comes, what he does, he gives us also glorious body. Dead in Christ will rise first, according to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. And the people who are alive, they will be changed and caught up, and we'll go together and be with Jesus Christ until we come back. And we learn in book of 1 Corinthians last Sunday, whole thing, this corruptible body will be changed to incorruptible body. So that is our hope. That is our faith. And some people say, I don't want to go to heaven. I like this world. I like to stay in this world. I like it here. Because they do not know what the heaven is all about. They saw somebody dream or somebody vision and they explained the heaven. That is not the real thing they are talking about. That is their dream and their thoughts and their vision. But actual heaven is in heaven, and we read according to the word of God what the heaven is all about. Once you are born again, child of God, and then you have the relationship with Jesus Christ, then you do not want to be apart from Jesus Christ. If you read the Romans chapter 8 and what the Paul says, no one can separate me from the love of God. All kinds of trials and tribulation comes, but he said, I don't want to be separated from Jesus Christ. I want to be resurrected. I want to go to heaven. And that is what his craving is all about. The same way, if you are born again, children of God, we have to have hope that Jesus Christ is coming and my citizenship is in heaven and I'm going to go to heaven. I already have the resurrection, and I'm going to go. And Jesus Christ is not going to tarry. He's going to come soon. And I'll be ready for his soon coming. And that's what the word of God is saying. And then we read in First Peter, it says, we have inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. So we are going to get the things in heaven. Those things will never tarnish, never destroy our gowns, our crowns. Our new life will be completely renewed, and will be never be decayed, never be tarnished, never be torn down. Everything will be for eternity. And once the person has that kind of hope in his heart, he will never say, I don't want to go to heaven. People are afraid of dying. But the word of God says, we are not dying. We are just sleeping. And when Jesus Christ comes, he will wake us up. And we will be going with him in eternity in heaven. So you don't have to worry about dying. People only afraid dying because they have no hope. They are afraid that after death, they might go to hell. And they try to preserve their life how long they can do it. 100 years, 110, 115, 120, but one day they are going to die. But thank God we don't have to die. Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. If Jesus Christ comes today, we don't have to die. we will be transformed and we will be going with him. So we have a great hope. We don't have to be panicked. And some people say, oh, we're going to live in this world for eternity. How do you know? Because the heaven is going to come down on earth. Heaven is not coming down on earth. We are going to go to heaven. But when we're reading in the Revelation, the Jerusalem came down from God. So the people thinking that Jerusalem came to this earth. This earth is a planet. This earth is going to destroy. We have the proof and we studied about it. And so this world is going to vanish away. And the word of God says in heaven, there won't be any sea. Now we have sea. So people say, oh, without sea, we'll be horrible. But can you see the sea brings all kinds of mire and all kinds of dirt and all kinds of filthy things. But in heaven, there is a pure water. No sickness, no disease, no germs, no sickness at all. So that's the kind of place we are going. So we should not be thinking, oh, I want to stay in this world and live in this world. In this world, we have sickness, we have disease, we have pain, we have sorrow, we have all kinds of problems. The animals are destroying us and killing us. And we are afraid of snake and we are afraid of tiger. We are afraid of a shark and we are afraid of so many things. But in millennium, we don't have to be worried about the shark and all kinds of animal, what do you call, the lions and tigers and wolves. The word of God says they will not be hurting you or your little baby. So that will be for 1,000 years. But after 1,000 years, this headquarter will be moved from here to New Jerusalem. Jesus Christ says, I'll take you to my home. Because I'm going and preparing a place. He's preparing a place like a new Jerusalem. So when we finish this earthly kingdom, we will be going to New Jerusalem. We are going up, not staying on this earth. And the heaven is not coming down. If somebody says the heaven is coming down to earth, that means all the angels has to come, all Father has to come, and everybody has to come down. And then what will happen to the Father's throne? What will happen to the angel living in heaven? So there will be no heaven and we will be living for earth. That is the wrong teaching and wrong kind of explanation. Let's go to the Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And then we will know what the word of God is saying. Is he saying, look at the earth and he's going to look up? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Now see what this is trying to say? He says, if ye then be risen, or risen with Christ, that means if you are born again, child of God, and you are going to go to heaven, if that's kind of your hope, then see those things which are above. He doesn't say if you are born again now, don't worry about going to heaven. The heaven is going to come down to earth, and we are going to stay here on earth. He says, if you are risen, when you are risen with Christ, if you are born again, child of God, if you believe that you are going to go to heaven, then you will be looking for things up above. Because he said, where the Jesus Christ is sitting? Well, Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Christ is sitting right now on the right hand of God. That means there is a heaven where the Father lives, and when the Father lives, there is the throne. The Father has a throne. And Jesus Christ is sitting beside his Father right now. So we have to know there is a throne in heaven, and you will be learning that there will be a throne in New Jerusalem. So the Father's throne is in heaven. Let's read the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3.
Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
sat down with the Father on high. That means our God is sitting on his throne. And when Jesus Christ came, defeated the devil, destroyed the devil, died for mankind, rose again, and went to heaven. And right now he's sitting at his Father, at his right hand on the throne. But we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he has his throne. He promised his disciples that he is the King of Kings, and he's coming to this earth for the 1,000 years reign. Read the Matthew chapter 19, verse 28 to 30.
And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Last shall be first, and first shall be last. That means you have a chance, and I have a chance, to be ruling with Jesus Christ. So this is on the 1,000-year reign. So the people are saying, okay, in the 1,000-year reign, we will be sitting with Jesus Christ. But in heaven, Jesus Christ is sitting with his Father. So Jesus Christ has his own throne in heaven. Let's read the Revelation chapter 21, verses 5 and 6.
And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely.
Now, who is this Alpha and Omega? That's Jesus Christ. And he says, I have the throne. And so you will be sitting with the right hand of Jesus Christ. Book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 and 27.
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father.
Now he says, My Father has given me kingdom. That's why he ruled, and he's going to rule in 1,000 years reign. And he says, Now I have the authority to sit with my Father. Now I am giving you the same authority to you. You will be sitting with me, and you will be ruling the people on the eternity in heaven. This is not on earth. This is in heaven. Because in heaven there will be different. Revelation 21, it says, there will be new heaven, and all the born-again nations will be living on that new earth. So we will be ruling there also, because the word of God says we will be the kings and the priests. We will be ruling on this earth as well as we go to heaven, and we'll be ruling in heaven. The point I was making, Jesus Christ right now sitting beside his Father at his throne. That means there is a throne in heaven, and God the Father is sitting, and Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of his Father right now. But when he comes down, he does not bring his Father to earth. He comes himself, and he brings the bride with him. And then we rule on this earth for 1,000 years. But the Father will be still in heaven. And so the people think that on this earth, 1,000 year reign finished, then we will be here for eternity. I heard so many preachers preaching, but that is the wrong teaching. Because if there was an eternal kingdom on earth, then the word of God will never say 1,000 years reign. When you say 1,000 years kingdom, you cannot say 1,000 years kingdom for eternity on earth. That will be wrong interpretation. 1,000 years finishes, then we go to heaven, and then we read in Revelation chapter 21, we will be sitting with Jesus Christ. And according to the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, 27, we will be in heaven ruling. That's what the word of God is teaching. So Colossians, St. Paul is saying, if we be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitting seated on the right hand of God. So there we are going, and we have to believe that one day Jesus Christ will come. He will take us home first for 7 years. 7 years, there will be great tribulation going on earth. 3.5 years mild, 3.5 years great. End of the great tribulation, Jesus Christ comes with his bride and defeats the devil and takes hold of the false prophet and antichrist, put them in the lake of fire and tie the Satan for 1,000 years, put it in the bottomless pit and put the seal on it, 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, the devil will be loose again for a season. And he goes and brings all the people for battle. And the word of God says fire comes from heaven and destroys the devil and his followers and all the people. And after that, the judgment. And after the judgment, we go to the new kingdom in heaven. That's the way the Bible teaches. So somebody says, no, 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 we are going to stay here for eternity. As soon as the 1,000 years finishes, then the heaven is coming down. No father is coming down. Heavenly Father is not coming down to rule on this earth. No angels are coming down to rule on this earth. They will be in heaven for eternity. So we are going up. They are not coming down. So here the word of God is saying, if you are believing in Jesus Christ, he said, for we are dead, our life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. He said, we are dead. We are physically dead, but we are spiritually alive. Once we are alive in Jesus Christ, our life is hid in Christ and in God. That means, see, it works together. God the Father and God the Son, they are one. So when we are born again, children of God, our life is hidden in Christ and hidden in God. Now this gives an assurance. If your life is hidden in Christ and hidden in God, do you think that devil can find you so he can destroy you? No. If you are hidden in Christ, devil cannot find you. If you're hidden in God, devil cannot find you. So we are in Christ and we are in God because we are born again children of God. We have the Spirit of Christ and we have the Spirit of God. That's why we are born again. Without the Spirit of God, without the Spirit of Christ, we cannot be born again. Without the Spirit of Christ and without the Spirit of God, we cannot be resurrected. It says in the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 9 to 11, if you read. Because you need the Spirit of God and you need the Spirit of Christ to be resurrected. So we have the Spirit of Christ. We receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we have the Spirit of God because we are born by the will of God. So we have the Spirit of Christ and we have the Spirit of God. And our citizenship is in heaven, and Jesus Christ is going to come from there, and we are going to go there. So the Paul is saying, lift up your eyes, look up, not and down, the earthly things, because we are not earthly, we are heavenly. We are the citizens of heaven. We are living on this earth for temporarily. So we should be always craving to go to heaven, not on earth. Even though we will come back for 1,000 years, at that time, we will be not dying again. We will be living for 1,000 years. That time, you can enjoy the earth as much as you want. But once the earth is gone, Bible says he will take even the memory out of your mind. You will never remember how the earth was and what was earth is all about. We will be thinking about a heavenly thing. We will be not worried about the earthly things. In earth we have thorns and thistles and dust and all kinds of germs and everything. When you go to heaven, no germs, no sickness, no disease. We have the golden streets, like a see-through golden street. So we will not have any germs in heaven. We will not have any sickness, no disease, no pain, no suffering. That's the place we are going. So we have to always thinking we are going to go up, not down. When Jesus Christ comes, that dead body will come to life and we will be transformed. So we don't have to worry about what happens after death, because we are only thinking we want to go to heaven. So we are ready to go to heaven. And St. John is saying, if you read St. John, it's a 1 John chapter 3. That is St. John, but he's writing a letter. 1 John chapter 3, read verses 1 to 3. Here he explains that we are the children of God and what's going to happen to us. Let's read. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3.
Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But if we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
He said, behold what manner of love that Father hath bestowed upon us. He's trying to say that's a great love. You cannot measure the love of God, what God has done for us, that we should be called the sons of God. This is a great blessing. We are not ordinary people. We are the sons of God. That is the love of God. God so loved us, he sent his son to die for us. So when we believe in his son, we get the eternal life. We call the sons of God, and we learn the Spirit of God or the Word of God comes in our spirit and gives us a new life. And now we are the born again children of God. We are the sons of God, and we are called the sons of God. But he said, therefore the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not. He says, if you are in the world will always hate you. World will always try to give you a hard time. Jesus Christ says, don't worry, you have tribulation in this world, but I have overcome the world. We are in the victory side. Jesus Christ is a conqueror. And the word of God says the believers are more than a conqueror. So we don't have to worry. Devil has no power to destroy you. He can destroy your body, but he has no power to destroy your spirit. We just learn we are hidden in Christ and we are hidden in God. How in the world that devil can find you out to destroy you if you are hidden in Christ or hidden in God? The people are destroyed because they are not in Christ. They say we are a believer, but they are not in Christ. They are in the world. And because of they are in the world and doing worldly things. Now, worldly things, I don't have to explain to you, but if you go to Galatians chapter 5 and read from verse 19 to 20, you will know all these worldly things will take you to hell. And people think, oh, we have to have some fun. We have to have some drinking or some smoking and some all kinds of worldly things we have to do. That is not the will of God. The people who are really, really depressed, they are looking for this kind of enjoyment. When I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I gave up everything. Even the tea, coffee, and soda, and all of these things, I gave up, and I don't crave for those things. That doesn't bother me, because I'm not even worried about those things. Because once we have Jesus Christ, we have everything. Jesus Christ is all-sufficient God. We are not craving for anything. David says, my Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. If he is believing the Lord is his shepherd and he doesn't want anything, Jesus Christ is already our shepherd. And if you receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we should not be craving for anything. Because we have everything all sufficient. He says God has bestowed his love. We are in his love. He loved us so much. And then he saved us, and he told us that I'm giving my son, you receive my son, and you will be born again, and I'll give my spirit. So my son's spirit, my spirit will be in you, and so you will be my sons and daughters. So you can call me Abba, Father. If you have a godly father, your Abba and Father, do you think you have any lacking? St. Paul already said in Book of Romans chapter 8, he says, God did not spare his son. He gave his son for the mankind. Do you think that it is difficult for mankind, God to give you anything more than his son? There is nothing valuable more than his son. If he gave his son to die for you, then to having a car or having a house or having a child or having a job or having a healing is nothing. Because he gave his son, he can give you anything. So we have to believe we are so precious in the sight of God that he gave his son for us. So he says we are so precious in the sight of God. And he says we don't know what's going to happen. He says, let's read the words too. He says, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear that what we shall be. But we know that when he is appeared, we shall be just like him. So he has the hope. John is giving hope. He says, if you are a child of God and you don't know what's going to happen, just believe that when he comes, you will be just like him. If you just like him, it means you will be like the sons of God. Then you don't have any lacking. You will be just like him. And when you see Jesus Christ, you shall see him as he is. That means there will be no difference between you and Christ. When God sees you, he sees you, Jesus Christ, as his son, and he sees you are his sons. He says you are equal. Because he calls me Abba, you can call me Abba. He is my son. And you are my son. Jesus Christ came into this world, so make you the children of God. He says, you are my brethren. God has only sons. He doesn't have grandchildren. So once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he says, you are my son. And so we are the sons of God, and God the Father, loves us the same way he loves his son. So he loved us more. He gave his son to die for us. When his son rose again, his son says, now I'm going to give my life to you. You receive me and my life. And when God sees you, he will say, oh, you're my son also. So we are the children of God. And he says, we don't know what's going to happen, but one thing we know, when he will come, we will see him as he is, and we will be just like him. That's not ordinary thing. You be like Christ is ordinary thing? No. It's a glorious thing. You will be just like him. And in this earth also, if you believe Jesus Christ, so you can live like him on this earth. You can do science and wonders and miracles on his name or by his name. He says in a book of St. John chapter 14 verse 12. Please read. St. John chapter 14 verse 12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Now see, Jesus Christ is saying, hey son, I'm going to go to my Father, but I'm not going to keep you here like a orphan. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the power of God, and you will be doing the same thing what I did. People are thinking, oh, we cannot do the things what Jesus did. Then Jesus Christ is lying? No. He says, you will be doing the works like I did, and you will do greater works. What the greater works we can do without Christ? If you are in Christ, then he said, okay, now I gave you the Holy Spirit. I established the church. Now your duty to prepare the church for his coming. Church is the bride of Christ. And the believers and the pastor's job to prepare the people for his soon coming. That's the greatest work he gave it to us. Jesus Christ traveled only in the Israel or Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria and those parts of the world. But now we have cars, trains, planes. We can go around the world. Jesus Christ preached without the microphone, maybe 20,000 people on the top of the mountain. But now we can take the microphone and preach the thousands of millions of people in the studios, in the internet, with the TV and radio, all kinds of facility we have. So we are doing a greater work. He did only evangelize only the little part of this Jerusalem and things like that. But now, by the grace of God, there are billions of Christians around the world. So that's a great work. So God, Jesus Christ, was not lying when he said, somebody has to believe it. But there are some people believe, oh, the Jesus Christ was doing miracles. Now he's gone, there is no miracle. And then the apostles were doing the miracle. The apostles are gone. Now there is no apostles, no miracles. But the word of God is saying, if you read the Ephesians chapter 4, he says, God has given more apostles, more prophets, more teachers, more pastors. So there is no number. Many apostles. So there are the servants of God today. Science and wonders are happening today. Many people are getting saved, healed, delivered, and set free. In the first century, Jesus Christ says, I'm coming. If he would have come within a year or so, what would have happened? There might be only 1,000 people in heaven. But he delayed, according to the word of God says, he's delaying because he wants everybody to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So now there are millions and millions of people getting saved every day. So we will be having a great cloud of witnesses, great cloud in heaven. We will be going to heaven, and numerous people, if you read in the book of Hebrews, they say there will be no number. We will be there together worshiping God, and we will have church in heaven. So the point I'm making, we have to have faith in Jesus Christ. We have to have faith in resurrection, that Jesus Christ is risen, so we will be resurrected. So he says, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is risen, you are living in your sin, and your faith is useless. So thank God that God has given us grace to believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Don't turn back on Christ. Just keep on going forward. Believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will be never be the same. You will have the same power. You will have same authority. Just pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. I believe that you came from heaven. You died for me. You rose again. You are a living God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.